Hey guys, Jacob from the Tripod here, where we break down every NFL game every week from a punting perspective. In the last few weeks, actually, it's just been breaking down the games where we've found best bets for you. But today I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I actually do want to give you more insight into my process. So I'm going to share my thought process on every single game, but only go in depth on the ones I've got best bets for you. Now, some breaking news that's come out this week, but if you don't follow us on any social media, or if you don't watch or listen to Wide World of Punting, you may not know Alex has officially left the Tripod. So his last day was yesterday. His last pod was Thursday's episode 4 of Wide World of Punting. It's best that you just go back and have a listen to that, especially the last 20 minutes of that episode, if you want to hear exactly Alex's plans moving forward and a bit more background and a bit of reminiscing and the reality of everything we do. And please, you know, jump on any social media and thank Alex for, you know, 6 years of ridiculous amount of hard work that's gone into building the Tripod to everything that it is. But I can at least reassure you, I'm 100% committed to completing this NFL 2020 season. I'm also got another 3 months worth of Wide World of Punting episodes lined up, so that's 12 or more episodes. Luckily enough, I've been able to secure sponsorship for that to allow me to do that. And definitely at this point in time, also intending to tip NRL 2021 to the best of my ability. And then I really just have to see how it goes for me, if I can afford it and if I can still can keep bringing a standard that you guys deserve. So doing everything in the Tripod. But all I ask for you guys is just keep supporting in terms of watching, listening, recommend it to people if you do enjoy it, and feel free to interact as always. Now, it's going to be bloody tough moving forward without Alex. Usually the process is we both handicap all the games, we put our heads together, and that should make us even stronger because we can cancel out any games we disagree, whereas I'm obviously on my own, but through periods of time, last 6 years, one of us has taken the reins or the other. We certainly both know what we're doing. I've given myself a tiny little advantage today, and that is, this is the first day I'm going to be able to incorporate a new bookmaker, which is Top Sports. So that is an advantage to me and an advantage to you guys, because it's one more bookie we can shop lines and look for the best totals and the best lines. And we've needed to add another bookie for a while. We've lost a few. We lost BetEasy this year. We've had bookies like completely merge, and it's just the less competition in the marketplace, the harder it is for us to find an advantage. The great thing about Top Sport, I've had my eye on them. We've been sussing them out for a while. We would never endorse a bookie unless we're 100% genuinely would punt there ourselves and can recommend it. They're Aussie owned. They've got a good range of markets. They really do have competitive prices, and you can get good limit size bets down. They don't even ban the winning customers either. I've heard nothing but positive feedback about them, and they're going to support the Tripod. But I wouldn't take support unless it was something I could get behind. And I think you guys know that, because we've literally haven't even had sponsorship of any form for 6 years. So if you don't have Top Sport yet, I do recommend jumping on them, and there's going to be a link in the description of this video, plus there's a promo code Tripod, just capital TRYPOD. That also helps us keeping the Tripod going. All right, so let's jump into the games. And as I said, I'll give you a thought on every single game in week 11. The Falcons are at the Saints, and the Saints are -3 favorite. And I'll be honest, I would have played the Saints even without Drew Brees. And it's been announced Taysom Hill, who's kind of like a pseudo quarterback. You guys seen him come in for gadget plays and often running like a wildcat. He's a big, strong athlete that can certainly carry the football. And I think when these teams get made to play their backup, sometimes you just get an all-in effort from all facets. Everyone ups their game, including coaching, including the plays that they use. It's very hard for the other team to know what's coming for them with scouting and everything. But look, I said I would have played -2.5. I could not find -2.5 at $1.80 or better. The marketplace is actually slightly juiced to the -3, so I'm passing the game. Looked at Bengals, Washington, and I still deep down think Washington may be tanking. I'm not suggesting they deliberately threw that heartbreaking loss last week where it should have gone to OT, somehow lose on a 59-yard field goal to Detroit, but it's kind of easier to play catch-up sometimes. It just seems like there's quite a few close games they lose, and with a line of -2, this could be another close game. So I look to play Cincy. I really love Joe Burrow, as a lot of people do, but I can't take them. They've got too many injuries and key guys on the offense, Joe Mixon and T. Higgins. So that's another pass for me. And of course, I've got to pass Lions at Panthers, it's off the board in most places. I think that's COVID related, and that makes things challenging for us too. Such an unknown, such a wild card in season 2020. We try to use it to our advantage where COVID protocol may only be advantageous for a play that we give out. But when there's limited markets, it's hard to compare pricing, make sure we're getting value. And if it's off the board pretty much everywhere, then we can't really have a play on the game. Here's the first game I do have a play on. It's the Patriots at the Texans. The Texans are a 1.5 point underdog, and the best bet is Texans plus 0.5 point in the first half, $1.83 on Bet365. It's also $1.82 on Ladbrokes and Neds, I think $1.81 elsewhere. So you can definitely jump on this one in multiple places. And look, both these teams played in terrible conditions last week. But the thing is, the terrible conditions were a big advantage to the Patriots, who were at home and just always are able to cope with adverse conditions better than everyone else. And it comes back to their coaching, comes back to their familiarity with conditions. Whereas the Texans, we bet against them last week in Cleveland because we said they're a team that likes to throw the football, not run it, not play, you know, ugly in the trenches. And it was like windy, rainy, you know, horrible conditions, and the final scores 10-7. So that game did not suit them at all. And while we bet against them and we didn't win the -3 with the Browns, we pushed because the Browns running back ducked out of bounds 1 yard away from the end zone. I gotta say, at least it's commendable that the Texans played the Browns tough. And look, they've only won 2 games this year, so their season is kind of lost. But I think they get up for a game against the Patriots, a team that's just inflicted punishment on them for basically ever since this club was, since their inception, the Houston Texans. Now, the Patriots, big, impressive win Sunday Night Football over the Ravens, and it kind of keeps them in the playoff hunt. So I know that they're going to be motivated coming into this one. I know they've clearly got the better coach with Belichick over Crennel, but that's actually why I like the first half play a bit more as well. At least we're taking away all of Belichick's adjustments that we know he can come up with at halftime. We don't have to worry about that, and he might have a bit up his sleeve to see how the Texans play first half and then jump on them second half. So that's why I like getting at Houston this way. I think them going back home in this one, playing in their dome, familiarity, controlled weather conditions, Deshaun could be primed for a big performance. So I wouldn't be surprised if Houston wins this, but I like getting at them first half just to increase our edge or take away one of my concerns on the Houston side. Next game, Eagles are at the Browns, and the Browns are a -3 favorite. And basically, these are two teams that we were on last week. I think they're both probably slightly underrated. When they come up against each other, I don't really want to go against either of them. So we'll just see how that one plays out. The Steelers are at the Jags. And Pittsburgh, still undefeated. It's like they're the kind of team that can definitely blow people out. They can make plays and just absolutely wreck people defensively. And then when a team gets behind and has to take more risks, it can get even worse. So I could definitely see them winning by, you know, double digits quite comfortably. But they're on the road here, and they already had the nice big blowout win last week. So it's like hard to really get any value on the Steelers. Certainly a team I'd throw in a multi. I think they'll keep their undefeated record intact here. Here's probably my favorite game of the week. So we've got the Titans at the Ravens. Ravens are -5 favorite. And I'm playing the Ravens halftime, full-time, $1.86 on Top Sport. You can also get that $1.86 on 365, but because they have a tie market as an option, you'd lose if you go to OT, whereas the Ravens halftime, full-time on Top Sport is going to be resulted on the final score. So there's like a small percentage of outcomes that could involve overtime. So it's a better play marginally. That's why it's the best bet on Top Sport. And other best bet, Ravens -4.5, $1.87 on Sportsbet. And find that down the bottom in Sportsbet other markets. Next best -5.5, $1.85 on Unibet. 5, a pretty dead number, so -5.5 is perfectly still strong play. Look, the Titans and the Ravens, I'd say they're both somewhat of enigmas. Like on their best day, they can be like really damaging and they can hang with anybody. And the evidence for that is the Titans made the AFC title game last year. And in fact, I think they led by as much as 10 early over the Chiefs. So, you know, they were within striking distance of making the Super Bowl. Not many people saw that coming last year. This year, I think they started out 5-0, a lot of close wins. But then they kind of come back down to earth recently. I think I mentioned last week's pod, they got destroyed second half at home against Indy. And now they have 10 days to prepare for this game. And the Ravens were super disappointing. I spoke about how they lost in Foxborough against the Patriots. It was horrible conditions and the Patriots just handled them better. But the thing is about this Ravens team, I still think on their best day, I just know what I saw a year ago. And if you go exactly 12 months ago, I'm certain that the Ravens was the best team in the NFL at that point in time. They were just obliterating everyone. And Lamar's had another year to develop since then. This is a guy who's still younger than the number one overall pick in the draft, Joe Burrow. So I just refuse to believe that the Ravens aren't good. And maybe if I'm wrong, then you look back and say, well, that's why they couldn't beat the Steelers. That's why they were fairly outclassed by the Chiefs, and that's why they lost as $1.30 something favorites to the Pats. But this is their last chance for me, and I just love the spot for the Ravens because they get to come home off a primetime loss, and it's max revenge because the Titans are the team that kicked them out of the playoffs last year when they were a home number one seed. So I like the fact that, as well as that, there's other little things like Titans have got more injuries. Jadeveon Clowney is out as well. So let's just get behind the Ravens, and that's why I like a bet like halftime, full-time, because I think we'll know in the first half, you know, how they approach this game, and if they come out strong, I could see them really, you know, carrying on with it. The Dolphins are at the Broncos, and they won a good game that was kind of a toss-up last week against the Chargers, and I mentioned that I think the Dolphins are a side I still want to fade, and even against the Chargers again, they're scoring without having to do a great deal on offense. They're getting a ridiculous amount of touchdowns or superb field position thanks to their defense and their special teams. And that's just not something that's going to be sustainable throughout a whole season. It's making people think that Tua is killing it when the truth of the matter is he's probably been decent, as good as you could expect for a quarterback in his first three starts. But I'm not sure he's setting the league on fire just because every week you're looking up and you're seeing the Dolphins have scored 30 or more. If you dive a little bit more into how they're getting those points, I don't think that they're going to be able to replicate that every week. So shall I take the 3.5 with the Broncos? Well, the problem is, although the Dolphins might be overrated, like, they genuinely are energized, they're confident, they're much healthier than Denver. And I need a good spot. I need a team I can trust if I'm going to fade the Dolphins. And Denver was blown out by the Raiders last week. I'm just not certain what I'm getting out of them at this point, so I'm passing the game. We have the Jets are at the Chargers, and the line is -10.5. Well, I can't play the Chargers. I don't want to go against a winless team that's come off a bye, because you get teams that just are desperate to avoid the embarrassment and shame of a winless season. And they usually come out and go strong, especially off a bye late in the year. And there's usually always value on that winless team because no one wants to touch them because they've been so bad. So that's where you should be, as a sharp punter, looking to play New York, right? But did they use their bye to do anything productive? I mean, Adam Gase, how he hasn't been fired yet, I'm certain it's because they want to keep him there to secure the number one pick. So that's the form of tanking in my mind too, because they're an absolute disgrace of a team. And I could try and think I'm clever and get a +10.5 here with the Jets. And then it could be midway through the second quarter and they could be just playing putrid again. And I won't have any confidence in it. So even though the sharp side should be take New York, no thank you. But I do have a best bet on an ugly duckling in the next game. The Cowboys are at the Vikings. Vikings are a -7 point favorite. And I am taking as a best bet Cowboys +4.5 in the first half. It's $1.82 on Unibet. I think it's $1.81 or $1.80 elsewhere as well. And Cowboys team total over 19.5, $1.80 on Bet365. Yeah, sorry, Top Sport has that first half total at $1.81 as well. First half line $1.81. So you got your option there if you can't get as much as you want down on Unibet. Now, the funny thing about this game is both these teams are still in the playoff hunt. So the Vikings, completely written off, complete like fire sale with their defense, you know, a team that was a pseudo contender over the last 3 or 4 years, I'd say. But it's like they signed Kirk Cousins in free agency and you thought that would elevate them above the play they were getting from Case Keenum, but it never has. And the defense has taken a step back now. And they started the season 1-5 and you're thinking, whoa, this is a mess. But they've won the last 3 in a row. They're still pushing for a wild card. Dalvin Cook, the running back, is playing honestly insane. He's scary every touch he gets, and as a running and also receiving threat. So they're at home, justifiably a touchdown favorite, I suppose. But Dallas are 2-7. You'd say the season's complete write-off as well, except for the fact Philadelphia Eagles have only 3 wins and are winning that division. So they're still in the hunt for sure. And I think they showed they've still got some fight. They showed effort when they played the Steelers and that came down to the wire. You have Andy Dalton back, which is a significant upgrade at quarterback. Dallas actually probably as healthy as they've been all year coming into this game. And Vikings have historically been very strong at home, but that's mitigated when you've got crowd limitations. So I'm willing to play the Dallas Cowboys here off a bye as well. And I especially like it first half because we'll see what they're made of if they're going to come out and apply themselves strongly. And a team total over as well, because I still don't think a great deal of the Vikings defense. And I've got another game where I've got a couple of best bets, and this should be a good one. It's the Packers at the Colts, and the Colts are a slight favorite, about -1.5. So best bet, Colts under 26.5. Their team total at $1.91 on Sportsbet. The next best is $1.83 on Unibet. And Packers plus +0.5 in the first half, $1.89 on Sportsbet. And next best, you can get that $1.86 on Bet365. So look, they are two very good teams, and that's what makes this an intriguing matchup. And Sharps love Indy. You watched a lot of line swings this year have been the Sharps jumping on Indianapolis when people wouldn't necessarily expect it. And it hasn't always worked out in their favor, but they're probably exceeding expectations this year. And it's about their defense. And a guy like Darius Leonard, the linebacker there, who is absolutely elite and a game-changing linebacker, and he has had some games out. And when he's been out, the defense has been, I'd say, average. When he's been in there, the defense has been probably the best in the league. So he is in. And that is obviously a problem for the Packers moving the ball in this one. But the Packers have a really solid defense as well. And the Packers are coming off a game where they had to work till through the fourth quarter to beat the Jags. But ultimately, you've got to say Green Bay's been mighty impressive. Go back to 2019, I think they won 12 or 13 games, got all the way to the NFC title game. And this year, they've only got 2 losses, so they're 8-2. I don't think they've had their bye yet. They're either 7-2 or 8-2. And the only really bad game they've played was a horrible loss at the Bucs where it got away from them. Devontae Adams, a superstar on offense that Aaron Rodgers needs to connect with, is back. And he's had games where he's been out. So obviously that's a big lift. So same with offensive lineman Bakhtiari, who just signed a $100 million contract. So obviously an important player in their scheme too. And so I think what it comes down to is like when Rivers is on, with that weird motion when he's connecting with his receivers, Indies are like a completely legit team and can win, but Phil Rivers is a bit of a hit and miss type of player, and if the Packers can get some pressure on him, then I don't see the Colts scoring 27 plus points. So I think close-ish game, I'd probably pick the Packers. I think the best way to get at them is in that first half and taking the Colts unders. And then I don't have any best bet on Monday Night Football. It's the Chiefs at the Raiders. Look, maybe I shouldn't overthink it. I should probably just say play the Chiefs -8 because they're off a bye. They've got plenty of motivation. The Raiders beat them earlier this year and put 40 on them. The Raiders have got COVID issues and we don't know who's going to be available and they're going to have disruption in their practice. But that's the problem, is because of the COVID issues, it's really hard to find markets on this game. Some bookies aren't booking the game right now. Others have got like bare bones markets, like just the head-to-head or whatever. So there's very little I can kind of shop around and play. So I kind of, and because there's uncertainty as well, I kind of just have to wait. Being the Sunday night game and happening around midday on Monday, there's an opportunity for me to step in and post extra plays in this game if I really like something. And it's a little bit the same with the Monday night football, Tuesday in Australia, Rams at Bucks. I don't have a best bet on this game for now. I really like both teams, so there's not one that I really want to bet against in this one. And again, I really like both these defenses, and I'd say somewhat bravely took the unders when the Rams played Seahawks last week, and everyone thought that it could be, 45-44, but there was actually less than 40 points total in the game. And this game, I would lean under as well because I like the defensive units, but somehow these nighttime primetime games, they have a habit of developing into shootouts. So I just don't quite have that confidence to jump on the under. Again, I will pass. And that will do it. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I'll post these best bets as a graphic in the Tripod app and in the group and the multis as well that I can come up with. And join in from now on Wide World of Punting. As I said, if you listen every week, I appreciate you. If you don't, like, definitely if you've ever listened to the Tripod over the last 6 years, it's worth going back and listening to our most recent episode because we kind of reminisce a bit and farewell Alexi. But moving forward, that pod is going to be on Wednesday night every week, and I'm going to do everything I can to make it a great podcast for anyone who's just interested in punting, and I really want you guys to be able to learn from it and get information throughout the summer that is going to challenge the way you think about punting, improve your method, and ultimately improve your bottom line, and hopefully entertain you as well with lots of great guests, including a couple special ones that I won't announce right now. You'll have to wait till Wednesday to find out. So hopefully I'll see you there, and good luck jumping on these NFL plays. Guys, we're 59% this season. Let's keep it rolling. Leggo!